Welcome to the fourth episode of Into the Fire at Burning Coal Theater. I'm Bryce McClendon, sitting in for Artistic Director Jerome Davis today, and this is the Triangle's first regular podcast on all things theatrical. Today is Thursday, October 27th, and our guest today is Nikki Miller, co-founder and Artistic Director of Only Child Aerial Theater, co-author of the play Asylum, which is running here at Burning Coal through November 1st, and director and actor in that production. Nikki, welcome.
Thank you.
So Asylum has already a few performances under its belt. How do you think it's going? How have audiences been responding to this production so far?
It's been overwhelmingly positive, which has been such a wonderful joy to just hear the different perspectives. We've had a lot of diversity in the audience, so we get all kinds of feedback from folks. We've had people who are mental health care professionals or people who've even been institutionalized before come in and just say that the show is particularly moving to them and that they felt that it was both respectful and compelling, which is our goal. So that's been really gratifying to hear. We've had a lot of people say that they want to come back and see it a second time, that there's just so much to take in, that they're excited to get a second viewing of it, and we've had some really great reviews, and so it's I'm excited to have two more weekends of shows ahead.
That's fantastic. So tell me a little bit about yourself, Nikki. Where were you born? What is your educational background in the theater or outside of the theater?
Yeah, well, I was born in California, but I grew up in Massachusetts in the western part of the state, and I danced recreationally growing up, but not with much like technical focus or anything. More, I just really enjoyed moving my body and being involved in something that was with a bunch of other people where you got to go on stage and wear a costume and have fun. That took me into modern dance in high school, where I started to learn a little bit more about just intentions in choreography and metaphor in choreography, and then also got more involved in theater at that time. Went to undergrad for theater, and it was there that I did a semester abroad in London where I saw some shows that incorporated aerial work, and that was like the game changer for me. So when I came back from that experience, I started to really be interested in figuring out how I could get involved in that world, even though it seemed very separate from me and everything I had trained for thus far. I was not an acrobat or a gymnast in the least, but something about it felt very exciting to me. So that's kind of the match that lit the spark for things to come.
Were your parents artists at all? Did you have any artists in your life growing up that were of particular influence for you?
My parents are not artists. My parents are awesome, but they don't practice the arts professionally. But I did have some mentors growing up. My high school dance teacher, a woman named Linda Seligman, was a huge influence on me in my teens. And then when I got to college, I had a movement teacher named Kathleen Baum at Syracuse University that really helped invigorate my enthusiasm for movement as a theatrical tool. And then as I started to learn more about just what was out there, I started to get really excited about certain companies in the world, a Icelandic company called Vesterport, knee-high from Cornwall, England, James Terry, different other contemporary circus companies, other Frantic Assembly, physical theater companies, Deviate in UK, all really influenced me, and I discovered them kind of as I went later on.
So do you think kind of seeing aerial theater and being attracted to aerial theater, when you finally did become attracted to aerial theater, do you think that it was because of your background in dance? What specifically drew you to engaging in that medium?
I think my background in dance was also a casualty of a longing I had that wasn't specific to dance, which was that I am really interested in viscerally relating to art. I feel like that is where art is most relevant and most potent. And so particularly in live performance, to see people who are very embodied express with that embodiment allows people to perhaps viscerally experience that kind of emotional state without necessarily having to like go through the experience. It would put them in that emotional state and they can empathize with it, and it teaches us things. So when I saw Ariel in theater in London that year, I felt like it brought me to life as an audience member much more than any other time I had been in an audience, because the stakes were so high for the performers and they matched the stakes of the story. Mm. So it was, the example was, it was a production of Pericles at Shakespeare's Globe, and it was a shipwreck scene. And so several actors were holding onto a rope, pulling it, trying to, you know, keep themselves at bay. Mm. And then something snapped and they all swung out and they were on these apparatus that were suspended from the ceiling. They were swinging across the audience at Shakespeare's Globe. You're all standing there. It's an open lighting. And so literally these actors are flying over your head, screaming at each other in Shakespearean verse about like how, you know, they need to stop themselves from sinking. And it was so exciting and it was so vibrant that to me, this whole world of opportunity opened up for what theater and live performance could be and what storytelling could be. And it started to click into place that I had this interest in creating and being a part of work that was like that. But I don't think I knew. I don't think it was like because of dance or because of one thing that I was looking for that. I think that it was when I found that I realized I had been looking for it without knowing sort of what my sure. route what was going to be to lead me there.
So tell us about Only Child Ariel Theater. You are the co-founder and artistic director of the company, and it's based in Brooklyn, New York. Tell us a little bit about the history of the company.
Well, Kendall Riley, who's the other founder of the company, and I met working on another show in about 2009 in New York. And we were excited about working together because as the show itself that we were working on at the time... was a show that was intending to include aerial choreography. So I was brought on to be the aerial choreographer and she was the actress that was going to be doing it. And we would have these, you know, bi-weekly training sessions where we would just work on the choreography and conditioning and all that. And we'd often end up like meeting up for coffee after or just having a conversation after the fact. And we realized that we both had a really strong interest in the metaphor inherent in aerial arts, and we were not yet seeing that represented very much in the aerial performance that we were seeing locally in New York at that time. Aerial arts have been evolving so much in the last 5 years in New York, in this country, in the world in general. So, you know, we're talking about like circa 2009, New York City is a little different than it is today. But we were excited about the idea of using the aerial work that we were, the aerial skills that we understood, and finding ways to break them down to be a little bit more theatrically relevant and find context for them that would be narrative and personal. So that was the idea. And then we made some smaller pieces. Only Child, made its first piece in 2011. We made another in 2012. And then in 2013, we made our first short form version of Asylum. And that was the beginning of what brought us here.
Cool. So what are the future plans for the theater? Where are you guys going next after you wrap on this show here at Burning Coal?
Oh, we'll just have to see. We've got a lot of... I keep saying we have a lot of spokes in the fire, but I don't think that's a real expression. I think that's wrong. But what I mean by that is we've got a lot of things cooking that we're excited to see come to fruition. But I think that immediately after, one of the things that's really exciting about this company is that the people involved are all very diverse in their interests. You know, for example, Samantha Sturman, one of our actors, is... an incredible straps artist, and so she's headed to Montreal next to go continue her straps training with a world-class coach there. Kendall's working on another play in New York. I'm going to be working on the first draft of Only Child's next project. Kendall's going to be a part of that too. So we're all going to sort of take a little time to engage with our other things that we do, albeit acting or circus or whatever. I have plans to continue doing my circus training and research in other parts of the country and the world over the next calendar year. But we're excited to see where this show can go next and also see where our other show can go. We're interested and pushing genre and pushing boundaries a lot. So we've got a lot of ideas about how to do that.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your process as a writer for these productions. Sort of how you come to a certain concept, and specifically Asylum, but just in general as well. How do you find the right sort of story to tell through this medium?
It's very gradual. I think it's very similar to a traditional theater devising process where you will see different company members, different collaborators come forward with source material. Through conversation and through improvisation, that source material gets kind of put in conversation with itself to sort of find what's interesting. I think in the case of this particular work, usually the way that Only Child will approach things is Kendall or I will come to the other with an idea, very, very sort of general idea. We want to use this world as a backdrop for a story. We want to use music by this artist. We want to use this imagery as a foundation. And from there, we will kind of keep that sort of brewing in the back of our mind. And as we go through life, be open to when we might be exposed to another element that might complement that. So in the case of Asylum, the way that worked was we found these photographs that we've been talking about a lot that are featured at the very end of the show here. And we began with the photographs, and then we worked a little bit with certain aerial apparatus that we felt were relevant and made a very short thing. The music we used in the original piece, for the most part, was not right, but we did discover some stuff that was. And so we kept that, and then we sort of waited until we had had something next. And then a few months later, I ended up going to Double Edge Theater in Ashland, Massachusetts, which is where I've got a lot of friends and colleagues, and met an incredible composer named Joachim Schweigert, who basically said, yeah, I've got some music that I wrote for a documentary that a company that I'm associated with made, and you're welcome to use it if that's right, because I don't have time to compose a new score for you, but it's sounds like it might be the right thing, so I'll let you listen to it and use it if you want. And it suddenly, our whole storyboard for Asylum started to come together. The music told such specific stories and had such specific tones. And I think that when you watch Asylum here, you can the music really, really helps sort of carry you from one emotional tone to the next, which was a really huge thing we were looking for when we were finding the music. And usually it's music that ends up being the defining resource for setting a world and creating a storyboard. But it's a very gradual process, and we don't like to rush it.
As we finish up here, I've got a relatively grand question for you. What do you think about the future of theater in America? What sorts of directions do you see us heading in? And in particular, how do you see aerial theater and physical theater in general playing into the sorts of directions we're headed in?
Yeah, I feel like theater is in a really interesting spot right now. What's the future of theater, Nikki Miller? Well, I don't know, but I do have some thoughts on it. And I guess the biggest one is the future of live performance in general, obviously, is something that is inherently going to have to change because of the incredibly accelerated predominance of digital media that there is now. I think that a lot of people are finding it less desirable to leave their house to engage in entertainment consumption. And so that in and of itself is a beast. But I think in terms of, that aside, and just in terms of the audiences and the culture that are excited about live performance and theater, I feel like, I've noticed, at least in New York in the last, I've been there 8 years now. So in that time, when I arrived, Ariel specifically, there were two places in Brooklyn that you could train, and one or two in Manhattan. And the availability of classes and options of what you could learn were pretty sparse. Now there's maybe 8 studios in Brooklyn and several more in Manhattan, and there's venues that support aerial cabaret is a huge thing. Corporate events now look for aerialists in their work. You've got Broadway shows like Pippin featuring aerial work. You've got Cirque du Soleil doing a Broadway show next year. There's definitely more of a presence of that. And I think that, you know, you can look at Europe as an example too. Like if you could look at if you're a nerd like me and you look at the trends in contemporary circus, for example, regionally, you can see how over the last few years, contemporary circus has evolved into this kind of like post-circus thing in Europe now. I think that we're a few years behind, and you know, particularly in a place like the UK, there's physical theater and there's contemporary circus, and those are kind of on the up and up, and they're so hot right now. And I have a feeling that probably within about, you know, 3 to 5 years, it's going to be really hot in the US too. I think people here are hungry for something that they can't experience through digital media. And I think that highly physical and exciting work that really requires you to be there for the risk and the adrenaline of it is something that's going to draw people off their couches and into performance spaces. So I'm excited to be a part of that.
Fantastic. Only Child Aerial Theater's production of Asylum runs here at Burning Coal Theater at the Murphy School through November 1st. Call us at 919-834-4001 to get your tickets now. Thank you so much for talking to us today, Nikki.
Thanks for having me.
Next time on Into the Fire, we'll be talking to Avis Hutcher-Puzo, whose company Coffee Dance Company will be bringing its devised piece Insomnia to Burning Coal next June as part of our second stage series. Avis will be here in 2 weeks to talk about Burning Coal's production of The Wiz, directed by Elevator Repair Services' Randolph Curtis Rand. Until then, you can find more information about Burning Coal at www.burningcoal.org or call us at 919-834-4001 or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Burning Coal TC.